All right, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at verse number 16. We'll read down through verse 21 tonight. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat at doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Father, as we consider this passage of Scripture, we just ask that you would, by your grace and mercy, allow us to glean something from it tonight. Help us in our spiritual walk with you, in order that we might grow more and more into your image. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we approach this passage of Scripture, we can't rest it from its setting in God's Word. And in order to really get the context, we should have looked up, especially to verse number 15, that very familiar verse where God commands us to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so he commands us to study so that we're approved, to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And the idea is there, getting to know the word of God inside and out. We all ought to be able to name the 12 major doctrines, and not just name the name of the 12 major doctrines, but also to have scriptural backing to each one of those doctrines. Now you're thinking, well, he's nuts. And maybe I am nuts, but that's the normal Christian experience, and that's what God is talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. That's why that word study is in there, and it's important because of what we just read in the verses that we'll deal with today. That's why it's important that we study so that we know the Word of God. Now, if you ask me, can I name the 12 major doctrines and give you biblical proof? The answer, of course, is yes, I can. Because I've studied the Word of God for a long time, and I teach doctrine also helps. But nevertheless, I could do that, but I'm not going to take the time to do it. I'm already pressed for time as it is. And so why is that important? As we come into verse number 16, and the title of tonight's message is just simply, shun babblings. Shun babblings. Unfortunately, there's a lot of babblings going on in our world today. And it's important that we can identify babblings. Now, when we hear that word babblings, oftentimes we think of a 3 or 4 year or a 5 year old. And the questions that we get constantly, nonstop, daddy or mommy, why this or why that? And how does this work? And how does that work? Yeah, all kids do that. Wait, you got two more that'll hit that stage, Chelsea. So, already did? Okay, getting there. And it's just nonstop. You know, Abby was the one who was different in our household. And we had Anna, our first girl, and boy, she was quiet. Life was easy with Anna for the most part. And then Abby came along, and man, this is what her mouth did. Always, all the time. And nobody in our family did that. That was kind of nice in a way. We always knew what was on her mind because she always told us. And not in a bad way. I mean, she was a good kid. But that's what we think of when we hear the word babblings. But we need to identify it the way it's defined here in this passage of Scripture. And God has defined it. And we can study the word babblings and everything else and get Webster's dictionary definition. But it's always best to get God's word definition. He does that. All right? But he gives us two adjectives. We'll look at those two adjectives and then we'll define the word babbling. The two adjectives are profane and vain. Whenever you read profane in the Word of God, it's talking about something that is unholy, something that does not meet God's standards. Okay? And so that's the first adjective describing the word babblings. Profane talks about something that's unholy, something that's ungodly, something that's not in accord with the Word of God. And then the word vain is a little easier for us to understand because it's one that we use today. It's something that is useless, has no purpose, just filling up time, especially when we're talking about babblings. And boy, I wish it was football season because I'd kind of elaborate on that one for a little while. But anyway, I won't because you guys beat us every year and I hate that. So we'll just keep moving along. Now I'm babbling, right? But what does it mean to babble? What is the context here in this passage of Scripture? And in order to figure that out, we only have to move a couple of verses to verse number 18. He tells us what the babbling is. Talking about Hymenaeus and Philetus, he says, "Who concerning the truth have erred?" Now that's their babbling. Hymenaeus and Philetus were guilty of what God is telling us to shun. And what they were doing, their babbling, was nothing more and nothing less than spreading false doctrine. Now remember I told you a little while ago out of verse number 15, God tells us that we need to study His Word and we need to know what it teaches, so much so that we know what is right. We don't have to spend a lot of time studying what's wrong, but we need to study what's right in order to identify that which is wrong, because God tells us that which is wrong doctrinally is vain, profane and vain babblings. And so that's the definition of babbling. So we're talking about shunning babblings. Of course, babblings is just simply false doctrine that does not meet God's standards. It's unholy, it's profane, and it's also useless. You know, there's a lot of this going on today, even in independent fundamental Baptist circles, with the doctrine of end times. Now, when will Jesus come back? We don't know. Anytime. Okay, there are those that say we've got to enter the tribulation period. And what's interesting is that seems to be what Hymenaeus and Philetus were teaching. And here it is in the year 2020, and we see this happening again with the same false doctrine. And so it's just a, I say it probably too often, the devil doesn't have any new tricks. He just recycles the old tricks and gets man to fall for it all over again because man doesn't study their Bible and they don't keep up with history. And so they repeat the same mistakes. And so he commands us, this isn't a suggestion, it's not a recommendation, this is a commandment to shun profane and vain babblings. In other words, false doctrine and the teachers of false doctrine. Now he tells us some things about this babbling that is the point of the message. The first thing we see is the leaven of babblings. The leaven of babblings. Now, we don't use leaven a whole lot. Who's used leaven in the last year? Has anyone used leaven in the last year? If you use yeast, it's essentially the same thing. Okay? We just don't hardly use it. Some of you have, but not very many. You add it to your dough and it makes that dough expand because it permeates the entire loaf. And that's the point that God is trying to make with these vain, profane and vain babblings, is that it will spread. It starts out small, but it will then permeate every area of our Christian life. And so even though it may only be the doctrine of false or the doctrine of end times that we have incorrectly or improperly, an unbiblical viewpoint of it, God says it might start there and it might seem small and insignificant, but it won't be that long until it permeates all of our belief system, and we'll see the end result in just a little while, and it's not a pleasant end result, but it begins small. We need to be careful of that and understand the leaven of profane and vain babblings, and understand that those that are teaching what may seem insignificant, if we give them an audience, we've started down the wrong path. We've started down a path that will lead to destruction unless we take some measures to counteract that. And so we see the leaven of babblings in verse number 16. In verse 17, we see the losers of babblings. It's interesting here that God says that these two men, and names them by name. Now, I have to imagine when Timothy received this letter from the Apostle Paul, everybody knew who Hymenaeus and Philetus were. that they were well-known men. Because in that day and age, generally, they had teachers that would go from church to church, from city to city, and preach in those churches. That was just their way of doing things. And Hymenaeus and Philetus were probably this type of men who went around spreading their false doctrine, their profane and vain babblings. And he warns us that the first part of verse 17, building on the point of the leaven in verse 16, it says, their word shall eat as thus a canker. Now we get our word gangrene from this same word that's translated canker. That's not a good thing. It starts small and it brings death to all the flesh that it comes in contact with, and it leaves individuals very, very sick. Look what Bob Bell is still going through as he recovers from the effects of this in his body. It's a very serious thing. But God names names, the losers of babblings. I remember my pastor, I felt sorry for him because he'd preach the Word of God and he'd mention different denominations that taught falsely, that were guilty of profane and vain babblings, and he would get attacked after the service. Because people did not appreciate these different denominations being called out. Even though they're on record and they're proud of their belief system, these denominations are, when the pastor just simply told the truth, people got upset because they had family members that attended these churches of false doctrine. The problem is, by disapproving of the pastor naming names, these people are showing their own personal ungodliness. You see, God mentions men by name, and he mentions their false doctrine. We already read verse number 18. He mentions their names and their false teaching. And if we want to be biblical, and if I want to have a biblical pulpit here at Calvary Baptist Church, I too will do the same thing. And I know it doesn't always make people happy, and I know sometimes it makes us unhappy, but it's necessary because of the serious nature of profane and vain babblings. And if I don't at least alert you to the errors of some of these fellows that are out there, and many of them are the popular radio and television evangelists, if I don't at least alert you to it, then as a watchman, I have failed in my duty. And it's up to you to decide how you want to respond to that. You can see the serious nature of it as God tries to expose here in His Word to you so that you can avoid these profane and vain babblings and walk a spiritually clear path, or you can continue to dabble because you enjoy these teachers and put yourself at great risk. The decision is yours. But if I don't warn you, then if you fail spiritually, then your blood is on my hands and I have to answer before God. So please understand my position when I name names and name denominations and the errors of their ways. That's my duty as your pastor and as a preacher of the gospel of God. You see, there are losers of babblings. Men who stand up trying to make a name for themselves, trying to gain recognition by teaching something different than what other people are teaching. Pastor Anderson out of Arizona is probably the one who comes foremost to my mind at this time, who's trying to make a name for himself by teaching false doctrine. But there are losers of babblings. As we move into verse 18, we see the lamentation of babblings. Now, a lamentation is a very sad thing. We have a book called Lamentations in the Bible. And what that book does is, the prophet Jeremiah is looking over a city that's been decimated by the Babylonian army. And his book that God gave to him, that book that we know as the Book of Lamentations, Jeremiah was standing over the city, and as God spoke to his heart and gave him inspired scripture, he was weeping over the city. That's what a lamentation is. And there's a reason to weep over the babblings, because look at verse number 18 at the end of that verse. After it identifies their false doctrine, it says they overthrow the faith of some. This is how serious it is. If you're starting down the path of listening to false teachers those that are guilty of profane and vain babbling, just as Hymenaeus and Philetus were a couple thousand years ago, this is the danger you put yourself in. In our pride, we may say that I will never see my faith overthrown. My faith is too strong. Well, that profane and vain babbling is just the beginning. It eats as doth a canker. It increases unto more ungodliness, not just in false teaching, but then comes false actions and false behavior that is ungodly. It's so important that we know the Word of God. That's why He commands us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I cannot overemphasize that enough, that you know the Word of God. And that's why we have Sunday school for adults. And that's why we have a Bible Institute. And that's why I encourage you to read through the Bible from beginning to end every single year, so that you can know the Word of God and you can identify these profane and vain babblings, and you can avoid the spiritual shipwreck that so many were when they saw their faith overthrown because they began to listen to Hymenaeus and Philetus, these propagators of profane and vain babbling. With the internet and with television, with everything so easy to communicate these false doctrines today, the false teachers are rampant everywhere. And I warn you, pay attention through internet sites to the teachers that you listen to on the television set or listen to on the radio. Find out who they are and make sure that they are doctrinally online and that they aren't profane and vain babblers. Because I do not want to see any of you guys have your faith overthrown. That's a terrible thing, to have your faith overthrown. I mean, what all does that communicate? I think what it means, at least partly, is no longer trusting God. No longer trusting God. Living according to the flesh instead of after the Spirit. Included in that, of course, would be the loss of any rewards that had ever been won. I think this also includes just a complete denial of the biblical truth and an adoption of unbiblical teachings. This may not seem important to you, but it's critical for your spiritual life. I don't think any of us, if I were to ask you, how many of you want to fail miserably spiritually and get to heaven by the skin of your teeth? I don't think any one of us want that. At least you shouldn't want that. You should want to get to heaven and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's not going to happen if you're giving audience to profane and vain babblings. God says, shun it. Shun it. Maybe I should have spent some time on that word shun. It just means avoid. It means run away from. It means have no contact with. It means don't entertain. And yet, when we turn on the TV and watch so much of what's on, I don't know who's on there. I avoid it myself. I would hope there's some good teachers on there, but I don't know because I don't listen to them. I know the ones that have the big radio programs and the big television programs are people we need to avoid as Bible-believing Christians because they're all rank with false doctrine, profane and vain babblings. If you have to stay home from church, get on the internet and listen to our services or find another good church. We're not the only one. Do what you can to avoid the lamentation of babblings where others are having their faith overthrown because of the pride and the arrogance and the rebellion of the Hymenaeuses and the Philetuses. Well, we've seen the leaven of babblings, the losers of babblings, the lamentation of babblings. Let's look at the limitation of babblings, because it's not all bad news. The limitations of babblings. Verse number 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Boy, what a statement that is. The foundation of God, I believe, is the Word of God. And what we're going to have are two promises that we can find in the Word of God or that are included in the Word of God. And so we know that if we stand on the Word of God, it's unchanging. What a wonderful truth that is. As we've been talking about in the morning, I believe what we have here in our King James Bible is the inspired, preserved Word of God for English-speaking people. What we have is the English equivalent of the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God almost 2,000 years ago. Recorded for us accurately without any error, without anything that God didn't intend to say, without anything added or removed by the hand of man, but preserved for us perfectly and correctly so that we have the very foundation of God, the Word of God. It standeth sure. Doesn't need man's help. I was reading some just this afternoon, but it was quoting from Charles Spurgeon. They said, trying to defend the Word of God. Oh, I know what it was. It was the Sunday school paper about what meaneth these stones, or I think that was the title of it. And they quote from Charles Spurgeon. If you haven't read it, read his quotes. It's talking about archaeology. That's the idea behind what means these stones, where men are taking archaeology and trying to defend the Bible using archaeology. There's no sense to do that. Charles Spurgeon said that's like trying to caging a lion and then trying to defend the lion. He says just open the door, let the lion defend itself. That's the same thing with the Bible. The Bible in that illustration is the lion. Just let it defend itself. It standeth sure. It can stand on its own. And it doesn't need any defending by man. All right, but here's what God says, and this is our shows the limitation of the babblings. First of all, the Lord knoweth them that are His. This is talking about the assurance of salvation. And those that have their faith overthrown, God isn't saying that they lost their salvation, that at one time they were on their way to heaven and now they're not. They may not believe the same, and they may not act the same, but if they were saved, they're still saved. God doesn't lose track. He doesn't erase anyone's name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Once that name is in there, it's in there once and for all. And that's what God is telling us here. And we can have great assurance from this and great hope from this, because if we have a loved one who has turned their back on the faith, we'll still be with them in heaven. And so that's the first limitation of babblings, is it cannot cause anyone to lose their salvation. We see the second limitation in that second statement there after the "and." It's let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And what God is trying to tell us here, the second limitation of babblings, is that someone who has fallen for profane and vain babblings and gone hook, line, and sinker into it and have had their faith overthrown, that it's not hopeless for them. They can return to God. They can have their faith restored. They can experience personal revival. God is trying to tell us that repentance and revival are still a possibility. So don't stop praying for that loved one. Don't stop trying to encourage them to come back to the Lord. Don't stop trying to encourage them to get back into their Bibles and to put away the false teachers. Stay with it in a loving and gracious manner, but stay with it. Hope is not lost until they breathe their final breath. Babblings has limitations. And God is in control of those limitations. And so don't lose hope if you have a loved one who has had their faith overthrown. And if that person happens to be you, you're still saved and you still can return to God. Just get into His Word and in prayer repent of the sin of believing these false teachers. In verse number 20, He tells us the lesson of babblings. And He talks about a house. And He says in that house, there's things that are valuable, the vessels of gold and silver. But He says also in that same house, there's going to be things of less value. Where if a thief would break into the house, they'd take those things of value, but you know, they'd leave those other things behind, not worth their effort. The things made of wood and earth. And He likens that great house to the church, to the local church. He says, you know, in a local church, there's people who are very valuable to God. The silver and the gold. Many of you here tonight are silver and gold in God's house. But we also have to understand that some in our church family are going to be vessels of wood and of earth, or as He puts it at the end of the verse, dishonor. They don't do a lot for God, and they're doctrinally not in accordance with the Word of God. They've fallen prey to profane and vain babblings, and maybe they are in a situation where their faith has been overthrown. That's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. God doesn't tell us to weed them out. Remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? And they go to the farmer and they ask the landowner, do you want us to get rid of the tares? And God, and the landowner said no. Because if you do that, you're going to harm the wheat harvest. Let them grow together. And it'll all get sorted out in the end. And that's what God is telling us here. It's normal. Not everyone is going to be challenged to study the Word of God. I mean, if we go back to verse number 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of effort. That takes a lot of initiative. I can't make you do this. And try as I might, trying to teach you from the pulpit and in Sunday school, I cannot make you learn those 12 major doctrines. I cannot make you then also back that up with Scripture. You have to do that yourself. Not everyone will do that. And that's unfortunate. But God's letting us know that the lesson of babblings is some will fall prey. And they'll still feel comfortable in our church family. And so don't get distraught should that happen, and don't overreact. Give them an opportunity for the limitation of babblings to take effect. But then in verse 21, he ends his thought on a very positive note, trying to encourage us to shun profane and vain babblings. We see the liberation of babblings. He says in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these. In other words, remove every vestige of profane and vain babblings. Just stay true to God's word. Then he describes what this man will be like. He shall be a vessel unto honor, valuable in our master's hands. He says not only will he be a vessel of honor, but he'll also be sanctified, set apart for holy uses. He says, thirdly, not just a vessel unto honor, not just sanctified, but meet for the master's use. God doesn't just use any old vessel, does he? You know, at our house, you can go, it's kind of funny. I don't remember if it was yesterday. Well, it would have been Friday. Amy had made dinner, and just the way we do it, we keep the food on the stove, then Amy usually gets bowls or plates, whatever's appropriate for the meal we're having, and puts them there on the stove. And we've got one of those really wide stoves where you've got the burns, you've got a lot of room in between. So she'll usually set it on the stove and we'll just pick up our bowl, we'll fill it up, and we'll go to the table, have prayer, and start eating. That's just the way we do it. And Amy went through the line first, got her food, she sat at the table, and I had just gotten mine, and Guy was next, and he picked up, because that's also the stove's right next to the sink. And you got the stove and the sink's just right up next to it. And so the dirty dishes from earlier in the day were there, and Guy started to grab a bowl off that dirty stack. And Blaine told him, those are dirty ones, you know. And Guy, of course, acted like he knew what he was doing, said, I know. And so then he grabbed a clean one. Why didn't he stay using that dirty one? Why didn't he just say, huh, what do you know, Blaine? This is good for me. It may have a few pieces of cereal stuck on it from breakfast, but that'll just be twice as good for the meal tonight. Because nobody wants to use a dirty vessel. I remember Wes Rowe, the man who led me to the Lord, the man God used to explain the gospel to me the first time I heard it and I got saved. I remember him talking about his dad was a preacher down in southeastern Ohio in a very, very poor, he said it was the poorest county in all of Ohio at that time. And he said that people would invite them into their house when they're doing visitation. And he described, I won't describe it like he did because I don't think you want to lose your dinner. But he talked about going in this one lady's house and she served them something to eat. And as he was pulling the spoon from his first bite out of his mouth, he felt all the stuff that was stuck on there from previous. Disgusting. And anyway, it's his story. I'll let him tell you in eternity about that. But you know, God's the same way. We're his vessels. What kind of a vessel are you tonight? God says if we'll purge ourselves from profane and vain babblings. He says, we'll be a vessel that's meet for the Master's use, fit for His use. We see also something else about it. This is talking about our heart. He says, first of all, we'll be a vessel unto honor. We'll be a vessel that's sanctified. We'll be a vessel meet for His use. But we'll also be a vessel that's prepared unto every good work. How prepared are you to do a good work? We'll only be prepared if we're shunning and purging ourselves from profane and vain babblings. Too often in pride we say that it'll never affect me. I can deal with it, I can listen to it, I can read it, and it won't affect me. Unfortunately for you, God says otherwise. And we need to have our spiritual antenna attuned to profane and vain babblings so that we can be this vessel that God smiles at from heaven, because we're a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. What kind of a vessel are you tonight? Father, we thank You for Your word. May we all desire tonight to be this vessel described in this final verse we looked into. But Father, I can't but help but feel, but with as many people that are here, that maybe there's one, two, maybe more that are not this type of a vessel. Father, put it in our hearts tonight to be this, that You'd smile upon us from heaven, and that when You have a person to be ministered to and a job to be done, Father, that we would be there ready and willing and able, meet for the Master's use. Father, just now as we have this time of invitation, may You deal with our hearts, and may we offer ourselves for service. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.